Welcome to Tarot for the Wild Soul, a podcast that explores the tarot through an inclusive, soul-centered, trauma-informed perspective for growth, healing, and evolution. I'm your host, Lindsay Mack. Hello, loves, and welcome back to Tarot for the Wild Soul podcast. Thank you so much for being here with me. As always, it is truly such a joy to gather every week in this virtual space with all of you. The Monday format is going down really smooth, at least for me. Always interested to hear what y'all think, but it's feeling good. So as we always do in our time together, unless we're doing something kind of special or different, we'll dive into our anchor card for the week ahead, talk about ways we can work with it, how it relates to the monthly theme. I'll answer a listener question. But before I get to that, I just want to say happy Gemini season. Happy Gemini season. Gemini is mutable air. Its connector card is the Lovers. Its kind of secondary connector card is the Magician. The reason for that is that the Lovers is ruled by Gemini, and the ruling planet of Gemini is Mercury, and Mercury is connected to the Magician. In the case of the Lovers and of Magician, what we have are two cards that kind of start with us, weave outside of us to the world, how we relate to the world, our interpersonal relationships, and then we weave it back to us. Like, how are those things influencing us? How are we maybe taking on things that aren't ours to take on? How maybe are we beautifully influenced by each other? We can't escape that, right? We're influenced by each other. And then we go back in, and then we go back out and in. And so in that way, it's like a beautiful weaving where we start with ourselves. We open our arms to the external factors and forces that surround us. We bring it back in. Gemini energy is all about connection. It's all about bringing folks together. It's all about connecting together. There's a lot of just truly gorgeous energy that goes into that, and that makes it so special. And, you know, because we're in Gemini season, we're going to kind of be quietly working in Lover's energy. And Lover's is powerful in that it helps us in many ways to dismantle some of the ways in which we have sort of identified with external validations in ways that we thought would bring us love, but are actually putting us a little further away from love. And conversely, we are learning how to rebuild something anew that's actually truly in line with the way that it feels good and supportive and natural to receive love. So inside of that process, one of the most powerful things that we can begin to do in this work is really think about our connections and our community. You know, Gemini rules the lungs, it rules the nervous system, it rules the hands. There is something that I've talked about that's deeply magician related that has to do, like, we literally breathe in that life force. We breathe in spirit, and our nervous system starts moving and pumping and sending impulses out, and our hands literally put out what's being received internally. So this particular time on the wheel of the year is really, really powerful, can bring us into way closer connections with, like, travel, with other people, with hangouts, with gatherings. Also really just helpful to remember that the Mercury of it all around Gemini, Mercury and Magician, a quality of them that's quite beautiful is that it's really about just, like, letting things out. It's not really about, like, editing those things, you know? And so one gorgeous thing about Gemini season is that it really encourages us to be adventurous, try new things. Also super helpful at any point, but anytime we're working with like magician energy, which we do with Gemini, it's important to remember that it's about bringing stuff that's within us out of us, but it's not necessarily like for everybody, right? So what we might want to need to like kind of vent out to a private processor, to a friend, isn't necessarily like for everyone or for like social media. And maybe some things are, you know, like Gemini being like a great communicator and a powerful communicator, it can be really, really helpful to actually do the opposite sometimes, which is to feel free to express, you know, where there might be some reticence or some worry. But yeah, happy lovers, magician season. I think it's really going to be a powerful one. So our card for the week ahead is Two of Pentacles. And it has a little helper that showed up that I'll kind of weave in, maybe talk about, maybe not talk about so much. The tethered one reverse that came up sort of around this energy. Now, on this sort of last-ish week of May, what might that medicine, you know, what does that medicine sort of have for us? One really big thing that Two of Pentacles helps us to do, it essentially whenever it comes up, it has to do with bringing us into a refinement process, a filtration process, one that's really, really crucial, important, and necessary, one that's really a weight off. It's a liberation. And I think what is really important about this is that around Two of Pentacles and sort of our medicine for the week ahead, it has to do with trusting the filter. You know, that's kind of our invitation this week. This week is a really, really powerful, important time where we might be able to get some really clear perspective on things, very clear around what we're doing and why we're doing it. And it's a jumping off point from some of the Hierophant-ness, because once you, that was last week, in Hierophant, once you get clear on like, whoa, I'm still really identified with this inherited belief that has nothing to do with my truth, nothing to do with the way I live other parts of my life, and yet this thing is still sort of rearing up and driving the car. Once we get clear on that, we can start to take steps, because it takes a long time to clear out old beliefs. We can start taking and making steps to clear the way, to clear things up a little bit. So one really, really powerful and potent thing here, piece of the puzzle, is that Two of Pentacles is jumping off of the work that we did last week and deepening it. And one beautiful way that it's deepening it is that Hierophant is a major arcana card. By very nature of that, we're surrendering to this energy. It's a wave that we're surfing. It's not a wave we're attempting to control. This week, we're in a minor arcana card. And minor arcana are all about our empowered action. Like, we have the tools, it clears the path, we can take action, things are moving in a forward kind of direction, at least for the foreseeable future. Like, we're moving clearly, we're moving with you know, again, taking like our planting, you know, our gardening supplies like out to our backyard, and we're going for it. And that's really what this card hangs out in and what it helps us to do. So that's really great. Whereas last week we might have felt like, whoa, these things are coming up, I don't quite know what to do with them. This week there's a little bit more like, okay, this is maybe a lot, this is maybe clarifying, this is maybe confusing, but there's something I can do with it, right? So in terms of trusting the filter, trusting the clarification process with Two of Pentacles, Two of Pentacles follows Ace of Pentacles. An Ace of Pentacles is a seed. It's a seedling, one that's sort of handed down to us in the form of spirit or great inspiration, like kind of however you want to frame that. But it's an idea. It's a seed, one that can grow into something much bigger than just kind of us. It can grow to feed a lot. It can nourish our bodies. It can bring delight and beauty to our eyes if it's a flower. But when you plant something, you take on the task of, yes, absolutely, kind of like letting the elements do their job, letting, you know, the compost do its job, letting the sun, the rain, the water, whatever, do their job as best as possible. But we are also hopefully planting something that's really in alignment for us. It's not some random bullshitty thing. It's like, it's really in alignment. You know, it's not here, there, everywhere, right? So the Two of Pentacles is the perfect jumping off point from that place where it reminds us, because you have now planted this seed of intention, of creation, one that's going to be a little bit of a slower burn, and we're all in that right now, a period of kind of certain things dying away and changing and a new way being born that none of us are really privy to. We're kind of discovering it as we go along, but we're still very much in that death process. Two of Pentacles comes up when it reminds us, because you've said yes to this seed, there are now certain things that you are not going to be able to take on. There are certain things that you are no longer meant to hold. There are certain responsibilities that you will have to take on and work with because of the depth and the power of what that seed requires. It doesn't mean we neglect any of the things that we love or that we are responsible for or we take on, you know, or caretake. It means that, and this is true for every one of us, if there's folks, and I never want to describe anyone as being like in any way disposable or anything, but sometimes two people, you know, a group of people, it's just not meeting us where, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just maybe somebody really just brings out our worst qualities, and maybe like it was at a particular season of our life that connection was really important. Maybe things are kind of weighing or bringing us down that we didn't even realize. Like, there's a lot of clarity that can come from Two of Pentacles because it places the important things, kind of places everything out on the table and calls upon us to say, okay, in theory, because of course I know that there are folks listening to this, folks in the world who don't have hands on either sides of their body. So I'm talking about the metaphorical two-handedness of this, without, of course, moving into ableism, because that's not true for everybody. But if you want to go with that idea that we only have the amount of hands symbolically that we do, we can literally only hold certain things, right? We cannot hold all, you know, that we've been holding. We can't hold everything. So the key then is, well, what do we want to hold? What are we being tasked with holding? What is important? And if we want to take it out of the realm of like the two hands, in our particular cup, bucket, cauldron of what we hold and tend to, what are we available to take on? You know, like what can we take on right now? What's too much to take on? Like, there's all kinds of questions around that. So this week in particular, whenever Two of Pentacles comes up, it offers us a pretty profound opportunity to refine that. This card is a refiner. It's a filter. It's like an amazing, like the best objective outside eye person to come in and basically say, hey, from what I'm seeing, this has really outserved its purpose. This you could outsource. That you don't have to do anymore. It worked for you at a certain time, and now it just doesn't. And that's okay. You know, that filtration process, that process of clarity is profound. It can be profound. It often is profound. So this week, we are being invited to truly let this card guide our next moves. Let this card help us to trust the things that we're clearing away, the things that we're refining, the things that we're leaning further into. But make no mistake, in my personal opinion, one cannot have Two of Pentacles without Ace of Pentacles. You cannot have the two without a seed in the Ace. You just can't. So with that being said, there is a really, really powerful opportunity here again to let that guidance shine a light on us and show us kind of, you know, what are we being called to pick up, put down, various really important pieces like that. And I do think that Gemini has the ability to get things done very quickly. It has the ability to help us to directly communicate, like move through things maybe faster than we normally would. So I think, again, it's the beauty of this being a minor arcana card is that the clearer we are about what's ours to pick up and ours to put down is that we are able to kind of take action on that really quickly. Like once we know, we can communicate that understanding and act accordingly, you know? So that is kind of in a nutshell, very simplistically, our work this week is really opening our hands to that wisdom, working with this idea, opening our heart to this wisdom, and really letting sort of the clarifying filtration system of Two of Pentacles do its work and start really consciously being aware. It might be that the way you become aware of how this card is working with you is that you just notice like, oh my God, the way that my time, it's so unsustainable. So then you might find this week that there's a lot of clarity for you inside of that. Just being like, wow, I'm realizing that I'm taking this on. I don't have to, you know, like that's okay. I don't have to do that, you know? So all of those pieces I think are very, very important, and they are definitely coming up for our attention again in this next week ahead. So This is a shorty this week, and I think that's okay. I love kind of easy breezy, beautiful episodes when they come up, when the card's wisdom is just kind of there. So to complete today's episode and come full circle, we're going to finish up as we always do with our delightful, lovely listener questions. And also, I want more of your cues. So if you have cues, simple or complex, about your cards, tarot, your practice, your relationship with spirit, give them to me. You can click the link in the show notes, which will lead you to Ask Lindsay. You know, I would love to work with any of you lovely folks who have big questions for me. So today, our question is from Cash, and Cash asks, hi, Lindsay. First of all, I want to thank you for the amazing gift that you give to this world. I've learned so much from you over the past year. I've listened to your podcast. Thank you, Cash. I'm new to tarot, started learning a year or so ago, and I'm still trying to learn the energies of the suits. Lately, I've been pulling wands all the time, nearly every pull. Even today, when I did your equinox spread and all four cards were wands, this feels like such a strong sign, and yet it feels opposite to what I'm experiencing in life. If I understand correctly, wands symbolize energy, fire, drive, and motivation. However, I feel the exact opposite these days with two small kids, full-time job, trying to launch a business, and it's just unrelenting life. I was hoping you could provide some insight and nuance to this newbie on the topic of wands and its many manifestations, because perhaps I'm missing the mark here. Love from a fellow Portlander, Cash.
Oh my God, cash. I would be so happy to talk to you about wands. First of all, I, again, am really, really honored that you touched base. I feel like being at the beginning of our practice is so tender and juicy and lovely, and I'm honored to be here with you. Okay. So I would love to invite you into something perhaps that you've not considered with wands, which is that I actually, when you described your life right now, like trying to start a new business, full-time job, two kids, that is when we need the wands, when the wands come to visit us more than ever. Like exactly where you are in this season of life is wands. So yes, traditionally, and I'm not saying this is wrong, right? Traditionally, more kind of standard description of the wands is energy, fire, drive, motivation. I don't see personally the truth of that, because it doesn't really, just personally for me, has never really, it has seemed too vague and a little bit too on the nose with it being like fire. And it's, I don't know, there's nothing wrong with it. I just think we can do better. You know, we can do better. Wands in Soul Tarot have to do explicitly and specifically with the inner flame, with our inner flame. Now, if you think about that, all of our inner flames are unique and different, and they change within us all the time. My inner flame at like 30, getting started on my business, is definitely going to be different than my inner flame postpartum, which is definitely going to be different from my inner flame after a week on retreat or on vacation, right? It's a completely different, changes day to day. We're all cyclical beings, right? It can change from month to month, week to week. Wands have to do with, they invite us into a space of respectful co-collaboration with that inner flame. I think, sure, absolutely, like energy, fire, drive, and motivation. I think more to the point, wands really get to kind of come alive for us when, rather than applying them to energy, that term, which is again like quite vague, and it gives the impression that we should have tons of energy, I think it more rules over the adrenals, and it more, they more help us out around our that inner flame and our accessible amounts, like kind of what our energetic container, what the pilot light of our lives, of our bodies look like. And the brilliance of this suit is that I think that the wands teach us how to work respectfully with that flame. So the wands coming to you constantly right now, I think, is, and I don't know the root system of your practice and how you practice, so I'll speak more holographically. But let's say you see the wands as being like a conduit for your guides and for your own inner wisdom and whomever you work with, the universe, whatever. Or let's just say the cards are like friends and helpers that are kind of reflective of your own best self, right? Whatever they mean. If we're looking at the cards as benevolent pals who really, really, really want to help, want us to be compassionate with ourselves, want to again, be of service and assistance, I think the ever-present like manifestation of wands in your readings has to do with like, Cash, you're doing great. Like, you're doing so much with this flame, and you're exhausted, and we know that. And how might there be just a touch of space for a little bit more rest or ease? And I don't have two kids, but I understand with having my one daughter, like the relentlessness of parenting, even though it's legit great. But there is like just a totally different rhythm to your day when you have kids. And so I get it, you know, but is there just like a moment in your day where there can be a little stretch, a little check-in? I heard at a mom's and birthing parents, like just caretaker workshop that I took that was hosted by a therapist, her say that she often uses the what she will often do with herself when she is overwhelmed, overtired, her body is just, her body is upset, angry, needs a break, and she's not going to get a break. She really advocates and says, it really helps me when I speak directly to my body and I say, I hear you. I'm not ignoring you. I can't give you what you want right now, but I want you to know that you're heard and you're seen and I love you. And that to me, I feel like is where you might find some connective tissue with the wands at this moment. The other thing that is really coming up for me is that in my personal experience, my personal practice, I get wands the most when I'm the busiest because it's their way of being like, okay, things are really full. Let's make sure that they're not getting toppled over. Let's make sure, like, what do we need? Like, what do you need? How can there be any accessible support that doesn't feel like kind of more work? I think there are our allies and our advocates around utilization of energy that happens in conversation with the physical body. Like, I think wands are about taking the body with you and about working with the body and recognizing that this is life in 2023. A lot of people are broke. A lot of people are having a hard time. A lot of people are exhausted. They're traumatized. They're worried. The cost of living is beyond. Childcare is, in the United States, an atrocity. People are exhausted. So we're doing the best we can. And I don't think it's about like, we can't always be like lounging. And God bless folks who are able to do more lounging. Like, I salute you. I think that's great. But I do think with all your carrying, wands are your best ally, actually, Cash. Like, they're the ones that are going to be like, how might you reach for something that's just a little bit more supportive, ask for a little bit more help, if that's even possible, like build in a little bit more play, a little bit more pleasure. And those catch moments are there, I believe, throughout our day. It just might truly be like a catch moment. It might even be just checking in with ourselves. Like, I think every single one of the wands cards offers us an opportunity to be like, okay, but can we bring all of us with us? I mean, fuck, four of wands is the only four card out of the four cards that's like, get the hell out of the house and play. Stop working. Please get the hell out of here. And don't do spiritual work like go bowling, go clubbing. Do what actually makes you feel good. So, you know, it's easier said than done, right? But that's how I teach the wands. That's how they make sense to me. That's based on my own personal experience with them. The wands were the toughest for me, even as a more seasoned reader, to understand. And it wasn't until I started like listening to them and noticing and paying a little bit more attention when I read and framing up my own experience. So, for example, because of where you are in your life and because of the preponderance of wands that you're getting, we do know wands must have something to do with caring for yourself inside of this very specific season of time that you're in, right? And it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. It doesn't mean you should have more energy. It doesn't mean you should stop and that you're burning yourself out. In fact, like Nine of Wands, for example, I think is kind of like acknowledging that we're running a marathon? And can you find, I mean, this isn't really what you, you know, but can you not, how can you work through the marathon of it all so that you aren't blowing yourself out? Like it acknowledges, I think, like, this is a big time. Can you make sure you rest inside of that time, you know? So it sounds like you're doing great and that you're right on point with your wants work and your relationship with these cards. But I would say, like, let them nourish you, like really let them nourish you, because they all kind of have to do with caretaking ourselves in some way, shape or form, you know, I believe. Okay. Well, thank you, Cash. And thank you to all of you who tune in and listen. It's always such a joy and a pleasure to be gathered here with all of you. This one was shorty. Shorties are nice. You know, short episodes are great. We won't meet again on this podcast until May 31st, just a little bit over a week. For June monthly medicine. I literally cannot believe we're there. But until we meet again and until we join together for June monthly medicine, I really hope you take beautiful care of yourselves, and I will see you at the next episode.